Welcome to the Tiny House Ideas Podcast.
Welcome to episode 6 of the Tiny House Ideas Podcast. Today's another really exciting episode, and we're going to be discussing business, entrepreneurship, and things like that. So we're joined by someone called Jesson James. If you haven't heard of Jesson, he's a serial entrepreneur, he's a business owner, and he's a motivational speaker. I came across Jesson, I was watching TV one afternoon, I saw a program called Rich House, Poor House, and I was really, really hooked by Jesson's drive, by his mentality, by his story as well. So we're going to be discussing how he has made it in the business area. And also we're going to be discussing actionable tips for you and ways that you can sort of look to turn your passion into a career and the benefits of working for yourself, the benefits of setting your own hours and being your own boss. So keep listening to hear the chat that I had with Jesson and the importance of starting a business, the importance of health and wellness, and how you can apply that to your own life.
Welcome to the Tiny House Ideas Podcast, the show where we talk about how to live a more fulfilling life with less. My name's Harry Alvarez-Garman, and I've got tons of exciting guests lined up for you, including authors, entrepreneurs, and tiny house owners. If you love minimalism, sustainable living, personal development, and everything in between, then you're in the right place. On this show, we'll be talking about how you can do more of what you love, how to turn your passion into a career, and how to live more sustainably.
Okay, so pleasure to have you on the show. If you'd like to start by just having a quick introduction to yourself, and then we can get going.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me on the show. Appreciate this. And first of all, you know, it's amazing what you're doing, reaching out and adding value to people. And it's especially inspiring for me to watch, like the younger generation just come up and, you know, really get into entrepreneurship. So hats off to you, mate. Thanks for having me on. For those of you who don't know who I am, gosh, like my story, I could go on all day about my story, but in a nutshell, I'm a kid who grew up in a rough part of East London with two choices: do drugs and be in gangs, or listen to some incredible parents and teachers. And fortunately, I decided to listen to my teachers and my parents. And it was a difficult time, because growing up in school, and any school really, not just back then, but in any school, like if you have dreams, aspirations, and you want to be your own boss, or you want to get into entrepreneurship, or you want to start something, it's not something that's supported by the mainstream system. It's like we're all forced into learning, right? And following this career or whatever it might be. So, but for me, I was always fascinated by entrepreneurship. I think my earliest memory of selling stuff is probably, I think it was around 11 years old.
Wow.
I think it was 11 years old. Probably wasn't the best thing to sell, but I remember going to Mauritius with my parents for the first time and buying these little Chinese fireworks. And I actually smuggled them back into the UK. Yeah. And the business was going well until some kid decided to throw some off the top of a bus and out of a window. And obviously I got grassed up after that. But what I mean is that I've always been fascinated by entrepreneurship, and nobody teaches that in school. So it's a difficult thing. So I decided, you know, when I was growing up, that I wanted to do this, but I probably wasn't supported in my environment. Probably many of your listeners listening to this right now, to go and do that. Yeah. Cause you're told by parents to learn, study, do this, do that, whatever. And I'm going to be honest, I don't think school's for everyone, man.
No, I agree. I think it is important now to sort of look at changing like the status quo. And it's not, like you say, you don't always have to follow the beaten path. It's about sort of doing your own thing. And at the end of the day, it's about what makes you happy and what you sort of can enjoy doing and see a future doing.
Oh, 100%. So, but you know, if, as with all things, you just have to try stuff. And, you know, like I was buying and selling stuff, and I was at school and just getting resourceful. And I remember my first big business deal as a 15-year-old. I walked into a mobile phone shop and one of these independent stores. And I don't know how I managed to do it. I blagged the owner to give me a bunch of mobile phone accessories. Like, you might be too young to remember this, but like the old Nokia phones with the interchangeable faces and all this kind of stuff. And like, he just gave me this, to my surprise, he gave me this bin liner of accessories. He goes, all right, you go and sell this, and then you bring me back and I'll give you some commission. And I went out of school and I just sold all these parts, and I came back and I gave him the money. And I remember him giving me like peanuts. He gave me peanuts. Yeah. And I was like, dude, I just sold all this stuff. Like, and then I realized that I got my first lesson in business is he or she who brings the most value gets paid the most. And let's be honest, he paid for the goods. It was his shop. He put up all the risk. Why should I get paid the same as him? Didn't make any sense. Yeah. I was just a vehicle to selling it. So, lesson number one for all of you listening. Yeah. I mean, if you're bringing more value to the marketplace, you'll get paid more. Like, that's it. Plain and simple. So
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but anyway, that was my kind of initial kind of dance with entrepreneurship. And then I went on to study at university. I actually, for those of you who don't know, I trained as a mental health nurse. That's my background. I'm a psychiatric nurse by trade. Just before I went into work, I thought, I was 24 years old. I just qualified as a nurse. I thought, you know, I'm going to try this business thing before I go into the big bad world of work. And I launched a business and it failed miserably. I lost 65 grand in 3 months, which was awful. My dad told me it takes a special kind of stupid to lose that kind of money. It was awful. It was a horrible time. It wasn't good. And I basically retracted to what everybody else would do in that situation. And that is to go with the mainstream and get a job, which I did. And I worked with the private sector as a nurse. I didn't work for the NHS. I trained with the NHS. I did a few placements with the NHS. I didn't work for them. I worked for the private sector. Private sector is a business. It's not like the NHS. It's a business. Exactly. So I climbed the ranks really quickly. I became the youngest ward manager in the UK at the age of 27.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really cool. I was like, you know, good money. I was like 50K bonuses, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And I thought I was living the dream. And And I made my employer like £6.5 million in 2 years, selling beds to the NHS.
Yeah.
And then in 2008, 2009, we went through the recession. And then in July 2009, my employer told me that they don't need me there anymore. Mm. So I don't know if any of your listeners can relate, but to being stabbed in the back, like being turned on, like giving your all to someone or something. And, you know, and that's how I felt, because I literally poured my life and soul into that, that organization. Yeah. And I was disposable, put it that way. That was it. And I was at a crossroads, and I didn't know, what should I get another job? Should I go back into business? And I didn't know what to do, because business failed, job failed. Like, I was up in the air. So I decided, well, you know, one thing I did learn, which was an important lesson perhaps your listeners can take away, is nothing in life is secure unless you secure it yourself. And you know, don't get me wrong, when my employer sacked me, like I'm very sure I was sitting in the car park having these vivid dreams of running her over or something, like I hated her, man. Like she sacked me, like, but
yeah, completely.
If I saw, we wouldn't be talking today if she didn't do that. Like, literally, like, so it's a blessing. If I saw her again today, I'd give her the biggest hug. But but it was hard. It was hard. I was at a crossroads. So I decided I'm just going to go and focus on what I want to do. And that was for 5 months. I was just like literally battling with myself. And then eventually I launched my own healthcare business. So we did supported living in the community for adults with mental illness and learning difficulties and stuff.
Yeah.
Because I knew healthcare, I was a nurse, and I knew the healthcare business model because I was working, you know, as a, what I call an intrapreneur, which is being entrepreneurial inside of someone else's organization.
Yeah.
So I knew what to do. So I put the two together and I thought, hey, let me launch my own business. So to cut long story short, that wasn't easy because you're dealing with the local authority, and for anyone who's listening who's ever had to deal with a council, they are very backwards in coming forwards and getting anything done.
Agree.
Yeah it was hard work, man, but managed to put it off. Doubled the size of the company in the first 12 months, quadrupled the income in the first 2 years. Was going well until I realized that I was a slave to my business. You know, if anyone, any business owners are listening, I'm sure they'll relate. Like, if the business is completely built and reliant on you, then you don't have a business. You have a job with a terrible boss who doesn't give you enough time off. So I had to do something different. So I systemized it, got better people in place. The quick story is I was able to turn that business around to a point where I didn't have to I didn't actually work there at all. It was completely independent of me. It made me financially free at the age of 31. And as a result of that, I was able to go off and invest in other things like hair salons and online stores and property and this and that. But by being able to become financially free from my business, it literally allowed me to go off and do other things and made me a millionaire by the time I was 33. Which ain't bad for a nurse who got fired, you know.
Exactly. I mean, it is such an inspiring story. It really is. I mean, like you say, literally starting off in East London and then sort of the choice between two paths, I think is just sort of amazing how you follow that through. And it's literally just gone strength from strength to strength. And now obviously you're where you are now.
Yeah, definitely.
Amazing.
Definitely. Thank you. You know, and I suppose where I'm at now, you know, we're, one of the things I did after I, you know, made it, if you want to call it that, is I'm a big believer in how can I help? How can I add value? So a lot of people were asking me for coaching and advice, and me being me was just giving it away for free. And then going, well, people aren't actually taking any action.
Yeah, that's true. If you sort of give something away for free, then it's sort of, are you going to act on it? Are you not? But then I guess you'll go on to say sort of, money means so you've got skin in the game, doesn't it?
Well, 100%. And we've all done it. I mean, I can't knock these people. I've done it before where friends have given me advice for free and I haven't done anything with it, you know. But whenever I've paid a mentor, I've definitely gone and done something about it, you know. So I started charging people for coaching, and then I realized that, you know, there's a big issue out there. There's a lot of business owners who are struggling. And just doing one-to-one coaching isn't very, A, it's not a good use of my time, and B, I can't help the number of people I want to help. Yeah. So in 2015, I retrained as a professional speaker so that I could actually go out and do this one-to-many. So coach and mentor people one-to-many, which I was able to do. I did so well at it. Within like literally the space of three, four years, I was able to pick up 7 awards in public speaking. Including best male speaker worldwide and UK public speaking champion. It was interesting because this is someone who used to watch people in the audience on stage and go, I can do that, but then never do anything about it. So for me, it's a great privilege to be able to now, not just to be able to you know, share the stage with people who I used to look up to and, you know, call mentors, but now be privileged to be able to have impacted thousands of people all across the world. I think that for me, that's the main thing. Cause I don't need to do any of this. I don't need to train and speak and teach. It's just a massive, massive passion of mine. So I'm fortunate that all my other business ventures, you know, work pretty much well without a lot of my input. So I have time to focus on my training business and my training company and adding value. And hanging out with cool people like you online.
Amazing. Well, that is the special thing. I mean, it's like you say, being able to sort of do what is your passion now. You've been able to find that, and it's something that you can pursue for the love of doing it. You're not a slave to it. You're doing it because you enjoy it. And I think that is the thing that is sort of so important, as so many people are striving for and looking to do now. So I think that is very, very commendable.
Yeah, thanks, dude. And I think we are in an era, especially like the time we're recording this, we're going for some interesting times, right? And
exactly.
You know, and I've been saying to people since, you know, we went into lockdown with Corona and all this kind of stuff, like I've been telling people, that's fine. If you can't go outside, then go inside. Like, what is it you want to do? Like this is life giving you the opportunity to press pause and really reflect on what you want to do. And I remember, like, I've always been a big believer in, like, find something that you're passionate about and get paid for it. Like, there's no reason why you can't do that. Like, don't get me wrong, some people are passionate about some freaky stuff that no one's going to pay them for. but there are things, like, for example, if you're passionate about helping, then be a coach, be a trainer, be a speaker, be someone who adds value to other people, like help other people with your knowledge or skill base, like. Selling your knowledge base is one of the easiest and quickest routes to making money, if I'm very honest, if you want to make money. But it's also one of the most rewarding, you know, emotionally as well, to see someone do well. But then I thought I was right about being passionate and making money from it. But then last year, I was invited by my promoters to go and have a dinner with Robert Kiyosaki, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I don't know if you've heard the book. So, and I remember Richard, like Robert Kiyosaki saying that day, he was like, hey, yes, everyone talks about following their passion, but he believes that he believes in God and stuff. So he will say, he said, look, the world's pretty messed up and God wouldn't want it to be that way. So what is it that you're passionate about that you can get paid for, but also makes this world a better place? And I thought, it just hit me. I was like, wow, like that's what I do now. Like I'm passionate about something. Yes, I get paid for it. There's nothing wrong with that. But I also get to make the world a better place. Why? Because when I help someone grow their business, when I help them reconnect with their family, when I help them reduce their stress levels, when I help them make money, when I help them do all these kind of things, I'm not just helping them with their business, I'm making them into a better human being. And that in turn makes this world a better place. And I thought, wow, like, I wonder if I could like now turn my attention to helping other people tick those 3 boxes. And I think it's very possible. And I think there's so many people listening to this right now who maybe are fed up with their job or they're sitting on a business idea and they're not sure whether to launch it or not launch it or whatever. And I'd say, look, especially if you've got knowledge to share, I'd argue you're being selfish if you're keeping it to yourself, because someone out there might be needing you right now.
That's the thing, isn't it? Yeah. And that's the thing. It can be so sort of rewarding, and it sort of helps you, helps other people. And it's a win-win situation, sort of being able to share, like you say, the knowledge, the information with other people. And it's helping everyone, making the world a better place, like you say, which I really like.
100%. 100%. Yeah, man.
So the next thing I sort of wanted to speak about, you said back in sort of 08, 09 was sort of when you hit the crossroads, when you were sort of looking at what path to follow again. I was sort of listening to you say that, and I thought it's similar to sort of what's going on now at the moment, because obviously, like you say, lockdown's been a sort of big pause on people at work, people sort of going about their normal daily lives. So I think a lot of people are finding themselves in the same situation that you were in, sort of just been released from a job, maybe, sat on an idea, sort of wondering to take action, things like that. And I think sort of now, because of coronavirus, people are sort of starting to realize that they can sort of do their own things. They can sort of follow their own passions.
Yeah.
So just sort of going back to some, what would you say to them sort of at that crossroads? You just sort of said it's sort of selfish to keep this information to yourself and this sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. So what would you say to someone who sort of got all this stuff in their head and they want to share it? How would you sort of, what would be the first steps of action?
Yeah, I think the first thing I say to anyone who's got something to share, but like if you're talking about service-based type stuff like coaching, mentoring, you've got a message, you've got a passion, whatever it is. Like I'm going to be real. Like people who work with me and know me for not dressing stuff up. And like, you know, I hope you allow me to just share that way of thinking on this interview, because I don't think I do anyone any favors by like fluffing stuff up. The reality is if what's going on in the world right now hasn't woken you the hell up yet to go out and do that thing, then maybe it's not for you. I'm just going to be real. Like if you're still waiting, like after all we've been, like if you think about it, like it's been like maybe like 6 to 9 months or whatever this has all been going on. What are you waiting for, man? Like let's what else are you waiting for? Are you actually waiting for the apocalypse to happen? Like what are you waiting for?
There's not a lot more that can go wrong in 2020.
No, man. So look, and the beautiful thing about being on the floor is that there's only one way up, man. There's only one way you can go. So if you've lost your job or you're in furlough or your business has taken a hit or your income has taken a hit and you've been sitting on this idea, well, look, you've been taking a chance on everybody else and that let you down. So why not take a chance on yourself? So if you've got a message, if you've got a business you're sitting on, if you've got something that you're sitting on right now, look, the best thing you could do is like just get going with something. Like progress, not perfection. A lot of people are waiting to make sure everything's perfect before they launch. And, you know, as they say, you know, you haven't got to be great to get started, but you've got to get started to be great. And everyone's overcomplicating stuff. So what I would say is, what's one thing you can do today to move you forwards? Even if that's just to speak your idea out to the world, even if it's just to put it out on Facebook and say, hey guys, I'm thinking of launching this. Do you know anyone who's going through this problem that might benefit from this? Or even if it's to just talk it through with a friend, even if it's just to do a survey online, and there are lots of free tools you can go out right now, like SurveyMonkey, and just like set up a survey and post it online and go, hey guys, I'm trying to launch a business. Like there's not one person that can tell me that they can do something, that they can't do something to move their business forwards. And you don't even need money for that.
That's the thing. Right? There's so many things, so many resources now that are all sort of completely free. As long as you've got an internet connection and a phone or a laptop, there's nothing stopping you really.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. So get started is what I was saying. Like, honestly, like, what have you got to lose? Like, literally, you've got nothing to lose. Nothing to lose.
And that is the thing, sort of saying get started. I mean, there's sort of so many people that are sort of, that need to hear it and that they need to know there's never going to be a perfect time. There's always going to be an obstacle. There's always going to be sort of something there, but it's about how you overcome it. And the hardest part is starting, really, isn't it? It's sort of, you can have so many ideas and sit on so many things, but until you actually take action, until you sort of take the first step, I know the sort of the phrase of sort of getting started in the first day, the hardest day, all sort of stuff is thrown around so much. It's so cliche. It is so true, though. That's the thing. It is. You're never going to get anywhere unless you sort of take the initial jump, the initial leap.
You got to like just start and then course correct as you go along. And like I'll share an interesting fact with everyone listening so that hopefully you can understand that even the giants do this, right? So if there's any Apple fans listening, like I'm sure there are, but like many of them will queue up, sleep on the street the night before waiting for Apple's new freaking iPhone to come out or whatever. And then you get the phone And then you go home, and what happens is you realize there's bugs in it. So what do? You send an error report to Apple, and what do? They send you a bug fix in an update over the internet. So what Apple figured out was, rather than spend billions testing it in their own lab, they got us to buy their product and made us their freaking guinea pigs. That's what they do.
Yeah, which is clever.
So if they can realize that you don't have to be perfect to get started, then what excuse have we got? And they're a multi-billion dollar company.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the thing.
Yeah, and, so just get started.
It goes back to the same thing that we all sort of know, that Apple and Microsoft, so many of these businesses sort of started in someone's garage and someone's shed. It's something to look at, that everyone does start from somewhere. Your story as well, like we've mentioned again before, sort of starting off in London, then building up from there. Or everyone has a starting point. Everyone has a sort of journey to continue and to keep on building.
Yeah, we've got to, and if I'm going to be honest, like, there are people listening to this right now that are actually in a much better situation than me or any other white person that started out before. There are people who are listening that are either living with their parents, for example, and they might not have a job right now because, I don't know, they got furloughed or whatever, but they haven't got any bills to pay because their mum and dad are paying for stuff, or they've got family that they can rely on, or they've got a roof over their head and they've got food and they're okay. Like, a lot of us, like, I remember, like, when I was starting out, man, I was living off pot noodles, like, literally, like, just trying to save money.
Yeah, exactly.
But maybe that's another reason why people don't do it, is because they're just too comfortable. And, like,
That is an interesting point as well, because, like you say, it's sort of starting from a point where you're secure and you're happy and everything's sort of going all right. There's not as much of a, I guess for some people, they might think, well, why would I? But it's sort of, yeah, you hear some stories of sort of starting from nothing and building up, but then it's sort of helping. And like you say, if you sort of haven't realized now over the last 6 or 9 months that there's something that can be done, then
it's so true. And we're just genuinely living in a society where, you know, people move more because of desperation, not inspiration. Like, a lot of people are listening to this, and, like, you even when you came on, you're saying, like, you know, you heard my story and you was inspired by it and stuff, but at least you're doing something about it. There are people who hear my story every day and are inspired by not just me, but all these stories online, and they're inspired, but they don't do anything about it because they're not desperate. So I'd say, if you're listening to this, give yourself a reason to be desperate to move, like, because otherwise you can be inspired all day long. Like, you're not going to do anything. You got to feel pain. You got to feel pain before you get the pleasure. And I think a lot of people don't have enough pain, and that's probably what holds them back. Even coronavirus, like, so let's be honest, like, people moaning about don't have money, don't have job, don't have this, don't have that. But did you see how many people were out getting smashed and spending money this weekend? Where did that come from? You know, did you see how many people were desperate to go on holiday when we were in lockdown? Where did the money from that come from? So it isn't that bad. People say it's bad. It's not as bad. You know what's bad? It's that homeless person on the street that doesn't have a roof over their head. Like, that's bad. Like, and I'm not just talking about abroad. Like, I was having a conversation with one of my team the other day. Was talking about one of the charities, some of the charity work that we do. And we're talking about, you know, sending money abroad and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, no, like, the foundation that we want to set up, I don't want money to go abroad, not in a bad way, because there's enough foreign aid out there. And I donate to a lot of charities that help children abroad and all that kind of stuff. Mm. Like, do you know how much poverty is going on in the UK right now? Do you know how much poverty is going on in our own freaking doorstep? Like, there are families that can't feed their kids, man. There are, why does homelessness even exist in our country? Like, think about that. So I'm saying to people, like, let's help people here. If you, like, literally, if you want to get inspired, go and see those people on the street and go, hey, I never want to be like that. Like, let that pain drive you. Let that thought of that drive you. Because most people are literally, they're train wrecks waiting to happen. They're not even looking at what's going to happen in the future. And sadly, many people weren't even sitting on any cash when we went into lockdown. And they were like, crap, like, got no savings, got no nothing. Like, literally, if you went into lockdown and you were struggling financially because you were waiting for your boss to pay you, don't blame your boss, blame yourself. Because you shouldn't have been in that situation in the first place. You should always have a cash reserve, three to 6 months at least in your bank, to give yourself some breathing space. And so you can't don't blame your boss, and don't say that, oh, hang on, Justin, but I don't earn that much. I can't afford to save that much. Well, go back and look at how much money you spunked on drink, alcohol, clothes, choose stuff that you know you didn't really need, but you went out and bought it anyway, and you thought, well, saving it, should I save it or should I spunk it on stuff? You spunked it because it brought you temporary pleasure, and now you're going through permanent pain as a result.
That's the thing. It's sort of people have the mindset where, say, they've got £100, they'd sort of much rather have sort of a really good weekend, go out, like you say, go to the pub, all this sort of stuff, because that will bring them the sort of temporary joy, the sort of satisfaction here and now. But then they sort of have such a problem and a sort of different mindset when it comes to sort of investing £100 in themselves into a course, something similar to you, into sort of building their own business, into sort of working up. There's sort of a mind shift switch that sort of needs to happen. People need to sort of go from looking at spending money on pleasure to sort of how can you sort of cut back on the unnecessary to sort of work on building yourself up.
Yeah, 100%. People are in a consumer mindset, not a producer one. Yeah. They're like earning £1 and spending two or three, you know. But then, like you said, you tell them to, I don't know, spend a couple of grand on a program or a course to help them start their business, or spend a couple of grand on an all-inclusive holiday for a week. That I know which one they choose.
Easy option where there's no strings. They can just do it sort of easily, and then they've got nothing to look back on in sort of 3 or 4 years later. There's no sort of
family. It's true. And I know why people do it. And like, if anyone listening thinks that, hey, Jessen and Harry are being harsh here, like, I want you guys to understand, I know why you do it. I know why people spend on holidays, spend on drinking, spending on going out. The truth is that they're just trying to fill a void in their life. They're hiding from something. They're running. They're trying to numb something out. They're trying, like, why do people go away on holiday? It's because it's escapism. It's like they want to get away from their life. They want to get away from their job. They want to break the grind, the 9-to-5 grind and all that kind of stuff. So, like, I know why you do it, but here's my take on it. Why don't you build a life that you don't need to take a holiday from?
Yeah,
exactly. How about that?
That's the thing, building a life that you don't need to take a holiday from. That sort of ties in quite nicely to sort of the area that I'm in and Tiny House Ideas sort of as a whole.
Yeah.
Because that's sort of, as we know, looking at the idea of sort of rejecting the typical sort of maybe American dream of sort of working 9-to-5, being a slave for a salary and sort of having the white picket fence with sort of stuff. And it's people who are now looking sort of how can they live a more fulfilling life with less or with sort of more things that bring them joy rather than sort of excess, I guess, because it sort of ties into how people can sort of live a more fulfilling life, realize there's sort of only so much that they need, they can live with, and build from that and look at ways to sort of to go into business themselves and to do what they enjoy. Because I mean, at the end of the day, it is the most important thing to find fulfillment, similar to sort of what you do.
Yeah, no, 100%. And that's why I love what you're doing, because like, I think being sustainable, like, how can we, you know, achieve more doing less, using less? You know, people don't think about the knock-on effect of that, because, like, think about it like this, like, even me, like, when I did the show on TV, and like, one of the biggest things I learned is that, like, we massively overspend in my house, like for no reason, for example, just for the sake of spending like 60 seconds in a supermarket going, well, how much per, like how much is that?
Per 100 grams per cat.
Per 100 grams per this, per that. And do I necessarily need to buy the top brand, or is like the Tesco brand still as good? Like, just by going, like, just a little shift in that. Do you know how much more money would be circulated if we made those, not just me, everyone who bought like that.
It is true.
And I think we live in this world where people are constantly looking to produce, but how can we, like, make better use of what we've already got and reuse and, you know, and get stuff like one of the salon that I used to own, like, you know, some years back, like, that was a sustainable organic salon. Like, we used to reuse absolutely everything. Our clients used to come back and refill their bottles rather than buy a new bottle, you know, like, we used to do all kinds of stuff. Like, we used to use the hair and recycle the hair and use it as, like, you know, for outside we had like ant farms and stuff. Like, so we had all kinds of stuff going on. But like, what I mean is that, you know, I don't claim to be the most, you know, eco-friendly person or whatever on the planet. Don't get me wrong, but I do my bit. Like, I'll recycle where I can. I'll reuse where I can. And I'll be more resourceful when I can. And like, I think one of the things that people assume, like, when you have money that you should go out and just spunk it on whatever. And I don't see the point in that. Like, I think, like, do I need to you know, drive a Lambo. Do I need to do this? I don't need to. You know, I'm happy driving whatever I want to drive. But I think it's about, a lot of it's down to whether people are willing to let go of their ego. For example, can you afford to live in a 10 bedroom house? Yeah. But do you need one? No. So, okay, well, move into this sustainable 2-bedroom home. Oh, yeah. No, I couldn't possibly do that. Right. But what? Why? Because ego kicks in.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the sort of thing that sort of some people have, that is, I think now sort of as we progress, as the years go on, it's sort of something that people are going to start looking at as well, with sort of, especially in the UK, sort of housing market, that sort of stuff. In America, there's sort of so many of these homes. I think it's sort of having a knock-on effect now through to the UK.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but so sort of going back to as well what you're saying about sort of lockdown, not being able to go out, sort of looking inside, I think that sort of, it all ties in sort of the same idea of sort of being happy and being fulfilled and sort of being comfortable inside. So have you got sort of any insights or tips on sort of how you find, I guess, fulfillment, or sort of what sort of makes your day, what makes your day?
Yeah, for me, family 110%, yeah. You know, I look at my kids, for example, and I think to myself, man, like, I'm so grateful that I'm in a situation where I don't have a 9-to-5 job. I get to see them a lot. I do get to spend time with them, and I do get to live life on my terms and provide for them, you know, and do those things. But I think one of the things that I've learned, like, during lockdown is, I get a lot of comments at times from people going, well, it's okay for you. You know, you've got money, or you've got this, or you've got that. And, like, what, do you think people with money don't have problems too? Like, do you actually think that we're allergic to problems, like oblivious to problems? Okay. Should I say? Like,
yeah,
we have problems too. But what I'm saying is that during lockdown, money was irrelevant. Like, I had money and I couldn't even spend it because I wasn't allowed out. Like, for example, like, what's the point, right? But one of the things I realized during lockdown was that, let's stop chasing materialistic things here for a moment, because I think the world focuses too much on materials, cars, you know, fancy goods, freaking Instagram, bling bling lifestyle, whatever it is, right? I think for a moment, let's just focus on what every single human being on this planet wants, and that's happiness. Mm. And we all want to be happy. And like, there isn't one person listening to this right now that can't tell me that they've been able to find something that makes them happy, that doesn't require money or materialistic things. That it could be your looking at your kid in the face and, like, watching them smile, that makes you happy. It could be, you know, looking at your parents happy and being proud of who you've become, or whatever. There's always something you can look at that can make you happy. So why focus on that? Like, find the things that you're grateful for. Coronavirus threw so many people into a place of scarcity and lack, and people started focusing on what they don't have. Like, I don't have money. Yeah. I don't have this. I don't have a job. I don't have, like, they're focusing on what they don't have. And when you focus on what you don't have, you get more of what you don't have. That's just the way the universe works. Whatever you focus on expands, right? So what happens if you focus on what you do have? Like, I have a roof over my head. I'm grateful for that. There's someone out there that doesn't. I have parents. I'm grateful for that, because there's people out there that don't have parents. Like, I have food on my table because there's people out there that actually won't even see a hot meal today. Like, like, gratitude can take you from a place of darkness to light in record speed, like, literally. Like, and that only happens when you start focusing on what you do have. So anyone listening to this right now that's not happy, is down, is feeling depressed, feeling sad, feeling whatever it is, you're only going to get more of that if you focus on the things that made you down in the first place, which is usually a lack of something. So what can you switch your attention to today that will make you happier? Like, what do you have? Like, there are people out there that didn't wake up this morning. You did.
That's the thing. I mean, even the chance of us sort of being where we are today, sort of being born in places, being born into families, and all of this stuff that we've got so much going for us that it's just sort of silly to get into a rut to sort of get like that. So it's sort of like you say, about looking inside, realizing what you do have, realizing how fortunate you are and the things that you can do in the future is what people need to look at, I think, to sort of help inspire and motivate them. Because, I mean, you said like the Instagram lifestyle, there's so many people that scroll through their feed and they see a private jet or a Rolex and they sort of think that's what they want to go for. But
yeah, you
know, like we said, it's important to look inside. It's about sort of being happy, because having a Rolex on your wrist doesn't mean you're going to have no problems. So sort of focus on within and build from there.
This is it. This is absolutely it. And I think that also stems from people trying to keep up with the Joneses and trying to think that, oh, well, and it happens a lot, especially in the younger generation, like everyone's trying to keep up with each other online. Everyone's trying to post selfies and look at how many likes I've got. And, you know, do I look good in this? And, oh, I can't possibly post that because people will laugh at me and I can't do this and I can't do that. And it just goes off into other stuff, like people are, you know, being bullied online and there's all kinds of stuff going on. And like, it's just, it's sad, because like, I was talking to some friends about this. When I was in school, if you got bullied, even though, I mean, I was bullied at school, but at least when I went home, I knew the bullying wouldn't continue. But now you get bullied 24 hours with the internet.
That's the thing. Yeah.
You know, it's rough. It's sad. But what I'm saying is that only happens because people have like got this thing about not being happy and content with who they are. Look, it doesn't matter if you're overweight. It doesn't matter if you're not the best looking person in the world. It doesn't matter if you haven't got the right clothes, the right money, the right this, the right that. Nobody on this planet has the right to tell you that you are inferior. Like, nobody does. So like, in fact, the person saying that to you is probably a lot weaker than you think. You know, so like, honestly, like, don't try and keep up with the Joneses in this life. Like, do what makes you happy. Like, I have a very simple philosophy on life. If it doesn't make you happy, stop it. That's it.
I'm just going to give a quick mention to Tiny House Ideas. So Tiny House Ideas is my business, is my company. It's been what I've been working on for the last 5 years in the long term, and especially over lockdown, over the last year or so, I've really put some time, energy and effort into building this business. So Tiny House Ideas obviously started with an Instagram page, and it has grown and developed into the business that it is today. It's the perfect free platform for anyone interested in the tiny house movement, in the tiny house community. First of all of the images that I feature on Instagram, you can find out more information. You can get a full fact file over on the website. As well as that, there's a really cool tool called Find Me a Builder, where for free, I will personally pair a few tiny house builders with you based on your requirements, and that will save you going through hours and hours of searching through Google results. Take the stress out of it for you, really. And obviously, it's no obligation. I'll send you a few recommendations, and it's up to you what you do with them. Another section of the website is the approved builders section. So I've been working with a few tiny house builders that I really stand behind, that I see the value in their work. So there's a profile there to sort of tell you more about them, and so you can contact them directly if you've got any jobs that you're interested in. And finally, on the website, there's a section for tiny house vacations. So if you guys are looking to go away and to try the tiny house movement, to try the tiny house living, but don't know if you want to commit to it, if you don't want to live there just yet, then a vacation is a really, really great way to sort of get acclimatized, to learn more about it. And you can do that by clicking on the vacations tab of the Tiny House Ideas website and learning more and searching through some amazing holiday homes.
I like that a lot. I do. If it's heavy, stop it. I think, like you say, it's sort of, so many people are sort of looking to keep up with the Joneses and do all this sort of stuff, but it all sort of ties in with the idea that we've sort of been discussing and developing. Mm. So sort of going back to that, and sort of how ways people can sort of now coming out of lockdown, sort of look at ways they can sort of start building, start improving. Mm-hmm. Would you mind sort of, I guess, running me through your daily routine, sort of maybe give some people some tips on how they can sort of build some habits, build some routines to sort of elevate themselves and become more successful?
Yeah, 100%. So first of all, I'm not the biggest believer in having a rigid daily routine. And I'll tell you why. Like, I've tried everything under the sun. I have friends who are big advocates for daily routines. You can Google right now, you know, how entrepreneurs start their day, and all these like, oh, wake up at 5 a.m, do 100 freaking burpees, do this, do that. Like, all this stuff comes up, and like, that's fine if it works for you. But hey, let me be honest with you, like, in the real world, like, that doesn't work for most people. I believe in having a few little rituals rather than a routine that you can engage with every morning. So for me, like, one of the very, 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 very first things I do when I wake up in the morning is hydrate. That's the first thing I do. Like, our brains are like a liter of water. Like, people don't understand this. Like, when you're feeling, when you're feeling dehydrated, your brain actually shrinks because it's lacking fluid. So what have you been doing all night? You've been sleeping, you've been like perspirating, you've been all sorts. Like, So in order to overcome brain fog, most people think, let me just chug down some coffee. No, like drink coffee after an hour. Like first thing you should do when you wake up is hydrate. So whether you hydrate, and I'm not going to get fancy with this, it's just straight water. If you want to get fancy and add freaking Himalayan rock salt and also like you do what you want, as long as you drink at least 500 mils of water when you wake up, just like, you know, get hydrated. That's one of the first, very, very first things I do. Then, providing my kids haven't woken up yet, I would literally just sit and I would literally go, well, what are three things that I'm grateful for? And the reason I do that is because when you wake up in the morning, it's one of the times when your mind can get the better of you. For two reasons. Now, number one, within the first 20 minutes of waking up, your brain's on a cycle that is its most receptive. So whatever goes into it will stay there for the rest of the day. So if you wake up immediately being consumed by bad thoughts, guess how your day goes? Crap. Yeah. So I spend those first few moments, literally either listening to, some motivational videos or audio or just sitting there and just like, what's three things that I'm grateful for right now? I don't write them. I used to write, gratitude journals and stuff. I just threw it out the window. It doesn't work for me. Like I sit there and I go, right, what am I grateful for? And I will close my eyes. And if it's my kids, I'm thinking about, I'll just be sitting there smiling like a madman because I'm just so grateful. I can feel it. I'm grateful for the, having this roof over my head. I'm whatever it is. Like, so three things that I'm grateful for. That's one of the things I ask myself in the morning. And then I ask myself like two questions. What is it that I can do today that will make me better than yesterday? And that makes me think, okay, well, what did I do wrong yesterday? but it's not so much what I did wrong. It's maybe I could have done better or could have done more of. And that could be simple things like, I'm not going to get angry like I did yesterday over somebody letting me down. I'm going to do that, And then the second thing is how will doing that today move me towards my goals and aspirations? And that's it. I just keep it simple. And it's more like if I feel like it, I will add stuff to it. I'll then I don't know, maybe do some exercise or do this or do that or whatever. But I think there is no set routine that I would recommend. I recommend you have some habits and you don't give yourself a time. Some people go, right, 5 a.m. wake up, do this. 5:15 a.m. do this. 5:30. Yeah. You know what? We are programmed for variety, not that kind of freaking that solid ritual. We're not wired for that. And it just creates more stress, And so and the other reason why you should literally hydrate and be grateful in the morning or listen to something motivational is because people don't understand this. Like stress is a bad thing. Stress affects a lot of people, but one of the things that's produced in your body when you're stressed is cortisol, right? So cortisol is produced in your body. But did you know that for your body to wake itself up from a sleep, it naturally releases cortisol to stress the body to wake you up? So when you wake up, it's already released a bit of cortisol into your body to help wake you up. That's what your body's designed to do. If there's no stress, it won't wake up. You carry on sleeping. So that wakes you up. Now, you've already got a little dose of cortisol in your body. Most of us, unbeknowingly, are actually addicted to stress. Right, so we've run stressful patterns in our life that we're addicted. And what's happened is that our body's looking for the next hit of cortisol like a crackhead, literally. So you wake up and immediately you start thinking about worrying things, like worrying about money, worrying about the day, worrying about stuff that hasn't even freaking happened yet. Like, why? Because you're looking for your next hit. So what happens is you've already got some cortisol in your body. You stack onto it with worrying. So then it boosts, gives you a cortisol boost. And before you know it, your body's got its hit. And now you're stressed for the rest of the day. So you've got to counteract that by going, you've got to break that pattern, as it were, by being grateful or by listening to something motivational, something inspirational, whatever. Like, break that pattern. I'm not going to say it's easy. What I'm saying is that the same way you became addicted to stress, you'll become addicted to being grateful if you run that pattern for long enough, So, I suppose, that's kind of what I would suggest to anyone morning wise, like morning routine. For the rest of the day, my days are flexible. Like, you know, like for example, I've got things in a diary that are solid, like every Monday and Friday, like Monday morning, 10 a.m., like team review meeting, like I'm on the phone, like on a Zoom call with my PA and my team, and we do this, blah, 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 blah. And then on the Friday, you know, 4 p.m., we do a review over how the week's been, and we look at figures, we look at this, we look at that, blah, blah, blah. And but everything in between is, you know, is I know what I want to achieve each week. I kind of chunk it up and go, like, on a Sunday evening, I'll go, right, what's the top three things I want to achieve this week? How I achieve them to me is irrelevant. I just need to know I need to get them done. And I just allow myself that flexibility to like, if I don't get it done today, that's fine. I'll make sure I get it done by the end of the week, but not make an excuse and move it on to the next week, but make sure I get it done. But I know a lot of people work with diaries and go like, hey, put this in a diary and schedule this and schedule that. If that works for you, fine. Like, you know, I can't impose my way of working onto you. You know, so don't follow anyone's set routine. If my routine works for you, use my routine. If someone else works for you, use theirs. But find your own way of doing it. This is another thing as well. Do you have to believe everything you read? Like, do you have to go online and go, well, what do successful people do? Oh, they wake up at 5 o'clock. They do this. They don't touch any carbs. They never drink any alcohol. They don't come on, man. Like,
it's not real life, is it? It's not real life.
And no.
They're so sort of consumed. They see these videos and they think, the only way that they're going to become successful is by listening to this YouTuber say he gets up at 5, he does this, he's training, he's not eating, and he's doing all this sort of stuff. But I mean, I like what you say. I like your sort of simple and flexible approach to it, and the fact that you're not tying yourself to anything. It's sort of, you can do these rituals that sort of set you up for the day, and they sort of get you in a good place at the beginning of the day. And I think that's an important takeaway for those that are listening as well, to sort of not be so strict and so disciplined. Mm. I mean, if one day you wake up at, you missed your alarm, you press snooze at 5 a.m.
Yeah.
Then how's the rest of your day going to look? I mean, I know from sort of my experience that sometimes the morning, sort of the first 30 seconds, the first minute is sort of sometimes where you either win or lose. Sort of the first few things that you do sort of sets you up for the rest of the day. So don't sort of start the day, like you say, by imposing all this stress, by imposing all this force on you to sort of be doing X, Y, and Z. Sort of just take a step back and like you say, sort of do what works for you. And the only way to do that, I guess, is by experimenting. You said you sort of tried so many different morning routines. I mean, I know as well, sort of trying so many different things to see what works. And then if it doesn't work, drop it. If it does, sort of explore it further, and then you can sort of get to doing what's important.
Absolutely. Do what fits into your lifestyle as well, because some of us, like some of you got, you might have kids, you might have, you know, other people that you live with, you might have other responsibilities you've got, like, and trust me, I know it's not easy when you've got kids and school runs and you've got this and you've got that. You know, I think people get themselves, like, they think, for example, like health, like I'll get healthier because it will make me less stressed. But then they make the process of getting healthier stressful, i.e. I need to eat at this time and this time. I need to train at this time and this time. I need to do this many calories today. I need to do this many. They're measuring so many metrics that the process becomes stressful, which then creates more cortisol, which makes them keep weight on. Like, it just defeats the whole,
it's interesting, isn't it?
It defeats the whole purpose. So don't get me wrong. I don't, I'm not advocating that people should just relax and not do anything or be too flexible. What I'm saying is find that balance, like make discipline the driving force that you're going to get something done. Like, but be flexible about how you do it. Like, make sure you've got your goals, you've got your outcomes, and like literally obsess over them and be disciplined about achieving them. Don't be disciplined about, you know, the how, like, cause that's not how achieving goals works. Like literally, like people think it happens in a linear fashion. It doesn't. Like you could set yourself a target and, you know, you want it to happen in 12 months time and suddenly you achieve it in 6. You're like, well, where did that come from? You know, like, because it doesn't happen in a linear fashion. So like, obsess about the outcome, be disciplined about the outcome, you know, don't be lazy, but also, why set yourself up for failure, man? Like, it just doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Yeah. And the important thing is to enjoy the process. And like you said, it's sort of to do with how people eat, how people do so many things. It all ties into sort of finding the right balance. And I mean, there's people that will sort of wake up and sit at their desk for 10 hours and not really accomplish anything because they've sort of made themselves, they've got themselves in this state. But the person that sort of has the right balance, that's tried this out, that's sort of experimented, and then they realize they can do sort of 4 hours worth of work in 2 hours then, and they can sort of do that in the morning, that in the afternoon, then that's sort of more of a win. You've got to sort of enjoy the process, and enjoy life is the important thing. Life's short. I mean, we're blessed to be here and everything. But the people that sort of are a slave to doing what they think they should be doing, it's not about sort of following a set pattern. It doesn't work for everyone. It's about sort of finding the balance is the key point.
100%. And that's the interesting thing with balance. You know, a lot of people approach me at times and go, Jess, like, can you help me with work-life balance? And like, and first thing I say to people is like, balance isn't that. It's, you're not going to get that. Like, that's not going to happen with work and life. Like, a lot of people spend more time with their work colleagues than they do their own family. So how can you possibly balance that? You can't. So what can you do though? What's true balance is if you're at work, give it 110% of your focus. If you're at home with your family, even if it's for 1 hour or 2 hours, give that 110% of your focus. And that's true balance.
Being present.
Just being that's the balance really. And being happy and enjoying the process. You know, it's like with business. For example, a lot of people go, oh, I hate my business, that it's not working. It's not the business that you hate, because if you did, you wouldn't have started it in the first place. It's the process you've fallen out of love with. Same as health. Oh, I hate keeping fit. No, it's not. You actually enjoy going to the gym and slugging it out. It's the process that you don't like, you know, the diets and the this and the that. You know, there isn't one person who likes going to lift weights, for example, that can tell me that they hate lifting weights. Anyone who loves throwing some weights around, but the dieting and the cardio and the this and the that's the bit they hate, because it feels like
as well.
Yeah, it feels like a chore.
People don't see. Yeah.
They don't see it. Like, you know, and I've got a lot of friends who are like top, like, you know, top bodybuilders and top, like, you know, physique athletes and stuff and things like that. And they're not very happy people. Like, because it's not an easy job. Like, a lot of them are single even, because it's like, you know, it's a very selfish sport.
Yeah, it consumes a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, so when you think about it, there are all these young people, like these young lads out there who want to look like freaking physique athletes, but they want to also hold down a job, you know, have a partner, all that kind of stuff. And they realize why all of that's falling apart, because you can't sustain that Instagram person you follow online who's got freaking like 12 abs, like whatever it is. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, you can't sustain what they're doing in your lifestyle. So what's your happy medium? Like, what makes you happy? You know, so like I said, it doesn't make you happy, stop it.
I like it. And I mean, for those listening, it's sort of about finding the happy medium, finding what works for you. And sort of tying that all back into sort of your journey, your situation, and about the work-life balance, sort of the transition for you from nursing to business. How have you sort of found in yourself, I guess, how you've obviously been more free now, you're sort of doing what you enjoy? How would you sort of describe that process?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I think it's, first of all, is understanding whether you really want freedom. Because like, a lot of the times people say, for example, I've heard people say that 95% of the population are not entrepreneurial or don't want to be entrepreneurs. Only 5% make it. I don't know if you've heard that before, the 5% club, right? All this kind of stuff, right? I don't agree. I actually disagree. I actually think 95% of the population would love to be their own boss, would love to have their own business, would love to have their own freedom. But only 5% actually go out and do something about it. That's the difference. And And when I broke down why, it's because of a clash of values, basically. And what that means is someone might say they want freedom, but their value of freedom isn't as strong as their value of security. Mm-hmm. So they'd rather be safe than free. For example, I'd stay in this job where I'm not happy because it's safe, it pays the bills, it just about get by, it's stable, I don't want to rock the boat. I'd love to be free, but I prefer to be safe. And that's why people don't go off and be entrepreneurial, because their value of safety is more important than their value of freedom. Whereas entrepreneurs have got it the other way around. Yeah. They're like, I'd rather be free than safe, man. Like, literally, I understand risk. I will take some risk. I understand, like, there's risk associated, but I also know that the reward is massive.
Yeah, so that's the thing. It's sort of risk versus reward all the time.
Yeah, risk to reward ratio. But and most people they want all the good. They don't want any of the bad. So
yeah,
you know, it's they don't want to risk anything. But they want it's like I'm in an industry where I see a lot of people buying courses, programs, online this, online that, blah blah. Like $97 for this online course, and you can learn how to become a millionaire in a weekend. Like really, really, that's really going to happen. Like you spend $97 and you become a millionaire. Like if that was the case, there'd be no poverty in this world. Like
everyone would be doing it if that was the case.
Yeah. So, but again, it's risk to reward. Like if I drop 10K on a mentor who will show me how to, you know, start an online business, start this, start that, I might take that more seriously because like, I'm like, well, you know what? That's a significant investment. And there's a very good chance that I will achieve that over 12 months of mentoring, not a £97 3-hour course online. Like, you know, so,
exactly.
But again, these are the people that they want everything, but they don't want to risk anything. So it's not realistic. So I suppose if you want to transition from working 9 to 5, being, you know, in a job or whatever, to business freedom or being your own boss, I'd sit down and really analyze whether that's what you really want, because everybody says they want freedom, but their actual values of security are more higher than the value of freedom. So really dig deep and ask yourself if you really, really want it. Like otherwise most people, they won't do it. It won't happen. Okay. So I suppose that's the main thing I'd say to anyone. That's the first place I'd say to start your transition, because I was very clear when I lost my job. I was super clear that nothing in life is secure unless you secure it yourself. So I'd be damned if I put my future in the hands of someone else again. So I'm going to go and start my own business, because I'd rather find out what it's like to be free than be like, and be stuck in someone else's business, building their dream.
Yeah, so, no, exactly.
Yeah.
And talking about that in terms of COVID, how would you sort of say, have you got sort of any thoughts on how people now sort of maybe coming to that realization, how things are going to change in the future? Because I mean, personally, I think that so many people now realizing that they've been a slave, they've been taken advantage of, they're disposable. I think it will sort of lead to more people at least exploring this. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think more people have entered what I call the awakened phase now.
Okay.
Whereas predominantly for you to like, for there are people who are settlers, like for example, they're just settled. They're settled and happy being, you know, 9 to 5, like especially in the city, like in London, like you watch them doing the corporate shuffle, work in the morning, like lemmings, literally, you know, yeah. And they're what we call settlers. They're oblivious to everything else. And then there's people who are the awakened. They're still in, you know, a job. They're still doing something that doesn't make them really happy, but they've now gone, hang on, I need to change. There's something that needs to happen. And I think once you've gone from awakened phase, you then go, right, okay, what do I do? And then that's the people who go out and start taking action, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think what's happened with COVID is it's created more awakened people. More people have gone, I'm actually quite dispensable to my employer, aren't I? Where did the employee of the month go to? Like, what happened to that? You know, that's gone now. And I think it's woken more people up. Sadly, and this is the reality of it, although it's woken a lot of people up, many of them will go back to sleep.
I think that's the thing. It's sort of about, once you realize it's about taking action, it's about sort of, if it's what you want, don't put it off, just do it today. Sort of, I mean, the best time to do it, everyone says sort of the best time to start something was 10 years ago. The second best time is today, right now. So.
Yeah, 100%.
Just to sort of make sure you stay in the awakened phase.
Yeah. And I think it's about being realistic as well. Like, you know, maybe my thought process on this is a bit too hardcore. Some people often think it is, but like, if you've been made redundant right now, I want you to take responsibility of that, not your boss. I don't want you to blame it on your boss, right? Why? Because you gave them permission to make you redundant when you signed a contract to work for them. That's your fault. That's on you. It's not on them. And people go, oh, that's harsh. It's not harsh. Take freaking responsibility for putting yourself in a situation where you could have got fired in the same place. Like that. That's what happened to me. I blamed my boss, but I realized that was my fault. That I gave her permission to fire me by signing a contract to work for her. Like I can't blame her. That's on me. And the more people who take responsibility for absolutely everything that's happening in their world right now, the more they will become successful. Anyone who's sitting here listening to this right now, still blaming their boss, still blaming Boris, still blaming whoever you want to freaking blame. Good luck to you. Let me know how you get on with that. But for those of you who are looking to take responsibility and go, right, how can I make sure that doesn't happen to me again? Game changer.
Exactly. That's the thing. It is about sort of not blaming everyone else. Sort of like we've gone back to it so many times, sort of looking inside, working out what works for you, and sort of just making sure you're in the right position. And I mean, there have been tons of actionable tips for the people that are listening, sort of ways that they can look at how they can sort of start working for themselves, how they won't be a slave, how they can sort of look to build sort of their own business, the importance of passive income and everything. I think it is sort of, especially now, becoming so much more prominent.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Yeah, definitely.
It's the action takers that are going to succeed, the ones that are sort of going to come through this on top. And I think that sort of ties in, because obviously the people that are still listening now, it's sort of been about an hour or so, they're sort of the ones that, if you've invested the time in this, it's the same as everything. Sort of you read a book, you see a quote, but then you do nothing. You've listened to this podcast for an hour, you've got these tips, there's no excuse. The best time to start is today. And I think that sort of ties in really nicely with what you do, your mentorship. If you'd like to sort of just speak about what you do and sort of your services as well.
Yeah. I mean, for me, there's like, I've got to this stage in my career from a mentorship perspective where I only really want to work with people who are actually willing to do some work, you know, because what I mean by that is, one of the things I'm very, very clear about with my students is that your success is your responsibility, not mine.
I agree. Yeah. It's not like a quick fix. It's not you pay X and then you get this in return. So you have to put in the work yourself.
It's not exactly. And it's not a silver bullet. I'm not going to take your problems away. What I will do is show you a better way. What I will do is give you a recipe. What you go and do with that recipe is up to you. If you decide to take some of the ingredients out, you're not going to get the same cake, man. Like, it's not going to happen.
But I like that a lot.
So, and the reason I say that to people is because we are, unfortunately, because of social media, because of YouTube, because of the internet, because of all the gurus and whatnot online now, you know, there are people, unfortunately, being hoodwinked into thinking that you can just take an online course and suddenly all your problems go away, or you can go to a course and all your problems go away and this and that, blah, blah. No, that doesn't happen. But what you can do is collapse the time frame. What would have taken you 10 years, you can achieve in 12 months. Why? Because you get the right mentorship and right guidance. So for me, I train people on multiple things. You know, I train people on mindset. I train people on sales. I train people on business growth, business startup. Public speaking, you know, there's lots of different things that I share with people that they can work on. But I think the key is before you even decide whether you want to work with me or any mentor, is like literally on a scale of 1 to 10, how serious are you about actually doing something? Because we turn people away. Now, we have people who've got waving money in our face, like, can I buy your program? Can I buy your mentorship? Can I work with you? No. And they go, well, why? And because you don't really want it. Like, you're making up all these excuses about why you can't do this, can't do that. And just because you got a checkbook doesn't mean you qualify to come and work with me. It doesn't work like that. Sadly, though, a lot of people in my industry will take money from anyone who's got a pulse and a checkbook, you know. So I suppose if you're looking for mentorship or guidance, first thing I'd say is, like with anyone that wants to come and work with me, is get to know me first. And the best way you can get to know me first is just by following me online, like literally. If you go to flow.page/Jess and James, that's flow.page/Jess and James. You will see a link with absolutely everything that I do on there. There are links to my YouTube channel. There's links to my social media channels. And there's links to my websites. There's there's so much free content available from me that would help you get started without having to spend money first. And then if you want ongoing mentorship, then just have a look at my website and just get in touch with my team and have a look at the programs that we run and see if it's a good fit for you. But I don't want anyone investing a penny with me first until they've got some value from me through my videos, my free content, and even if you go to my website, there's things you could download. There's all kinds of stuff you can do. But then you decide whether I'm the right mentor for you. And then we can have a sensible conversation with my team about whether moving forward is the right thing to do. You know, and I think that the reason I'm saying that is because I don't run a training company because I need to churn a profit. I'm good. Whether I do this or not, I'm good. And I think sadly there's a lot of mentors out there that this is their main way of making income. So everyone's a customer to them. And nobody wins in that situation. So just not saying this to kind of be big-headed or whatever, I won't work with everyone. And that's not because you're a bad person. It's because I don't think it's the right fit for you at this current crossroads in your life. And I don't know many people who turn business away like that, but I'm not about your money. I'm about your outcome. And I want to stack that up in my favor. I want to know you're going to make it work. So then otherwise you'll just be a bad testimonial for me.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I think it is so, so respectable and sort of so positive to see that you're sort of not trying to flog this to sort of anyone who sort of walks past or anything. It's sort of about providing value and sort of doing it for the right reasons, where there are so many people, like you say, in the industry. You see sort of so many Instagram ads, so many YouTube videos that say, look, buy this course and it will do this. But no, it won't. It's about sort of what you put in. I think it is respectable that you sort of make sure that people are a right fit before you sort of pursue anything.
You've got to have filters. Yeah, you must have filters. Yeah. Like, you've got to, like, I'm very clear on who I want to work with. Like, if I'm not happy with someone, then nobody wins, because like they're going to pay me and not get what they really, really want, because I'm not going to show up 100%. And then it's not a win-win situation. So I won't work with people I don't want to work with. Like, you know, so yeah. I suppose, you know, anyone listening right now, I suppose, like, if you want to launch your own business, start your own thing, get your business going or whatever, like, first of all, sit down and really sound check yourself as to, are you ready? Like, do you really, really want to do this? Or are you just saying it because you're not happy? Some people are happy in their job. Like, don't fight it. If you're happy with a job, stay in a job, man. Like honestly, we can't make everyone into entrepreneurs, or we have no one working. But if you're happy, then make sure you find conditions of employment that make you happy. Are you valued at work? Are you respected at work? Is it a fun place to work for? Is it like, are you getting paid what you're worth? Are you, you know, are you respected? Like, make sure it's a nice environment to work in, right? So if you're not happy and you want to start your own business, then like, be super clear on the reasons why you're doing it. Like, why do you even want to do this in the first place? Who are you doing it for? And a lot of people they have this kind of I don't know, they feel compelled to say that they're doing it to make the world a better place, to help other people, to do, look, just cut the crap. Why are you really doing it right now? Well, I want to make some money. Fine. Over the next 12 months, make your why you. Be selfish. That's absolutely fine. For the next 12 months, if you're going to start a business, make it all about you. Why? Because without you, you can't help anybody else. So just focus on yourself. What's the reason why? And then start mapping out what it is that you want to do. Like, what would you, and I always say to people, because a lot of, like, you've probably been through this before yourself, like, you have an idea and all these little limiting beliefs come up and all these, oh, maybe I'm not good enough. Or maybe, I always say to people, like, if I could just wave a magic wand right now, what would you be doing? Like, no money, money's not an issue, self-belief, confidence, throw that out the window for a minute. What would you be doing? And people go like, oh, I'd like to be a speaker, or I'd like to be a coach, or I'd like to have my own shop, or I'd like to have this and that. And like, great. And then I get them to like really amplify that image and go like, well, okay, what does that look like? All that kind of stuff. How do you feel now you've got it? Blah, 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 all this kind of stuff. And then they feel amazing about it. And then we reverse engineer the process. So I'd urge everybody to start with the end in mind. What is it that you want to do? What does it look like? And then reverse engineer that process. Like, otherwise what happens is you try to think in a logical fashion, right? I want to start my business. So I need to do that first, then that, then that. And every time you do that, you're hitting more resistance, more limiting beliefs, more issues. So if I make you dream a little bit, it makes your brain actually go, whoa, actually it's possible. And with the brain, possibility is like water looking for a crack. The minute it finds that crack, it's going to seep through. So if there's possibility in your brain, is it possible? Then your brain starts to look at how it can make it happen, you know. But if you start at the beginning, it actually makes it feel like it's impossible, which is why most people give up, you know. So, but yeah, I suppose that's kind of where I kind of advise people, if they're getting off the ground, to go and do that. But yeah, I just feel like there's so many people right now who've got opportunities. There's so many opportunities out there right now: business, entrepreneurship, property, the internet. I mean, look at internet usage, for God's sake, like it's cranked up. People are using the internet more, you know, so you've got an opportunity to get online, whether you want to start an e-commerce store, you want to do this, you want to do that. Like, there's so many things that I'm like, you know, I just think there's so many opportunities out there. We're living in an abundant world, but we're conditioned by media to think small and think scarcity and think lack. Like, look, we live in a world where if they wanted to, they could print more money tomorrow. Like, print it. and you're telling me that we will run out of money. We're never, this world is never going to run out of money. It's not going to happen. So stop thinking about lack and start focusing on abundance, and great things will happen for you, man.
I love it. I think that's an amazing sort of way to wrap it all up. And the things you were saying about sort of how you can provide value and sort of make sure you're sort of doing something that's worth it for you, doing something that sort of that does it for you, I guess. I mean, if you're happy working in a job and you've got the fulfillment you want, then amazing. That is the important thing. You're not sort of doing this to say you're doing it or to say that you can do it. It's about sort of being happy. And like we say, sort of going back to everything, it's about being happy inside with what you're doing and finding ways and sort of processes to make that a reality.
Absolutely. I have friends who are absolutely happy in their job. Yeah. Good for you. Good for you.
Exactly.
They're winning. It doesn't make me better than you. Literally, it doesn't make me better than you. Like, people think that if you're, it's bad. I think this, the media, especially in my industry and like business and stuff and things like that, people make entrepreneurship the be all and end all, and they make employment out to be the demon. Well, if you're a true entrepreneur, you become an employer. Does that mean you're part of that demonized world? Like, they don't think about that. So you're telling everybody else employment's crap, but yet you want good employees. Like, listen to what you're saying.
Exactly. Employment's crap, but come and work for me.
Exactly.
That's the thing.
It's nuts. So be respectful is what I say. But like I said, last thing I'll say to your listeners is this: every single thing that you're doing right now, just strive for happiness in your relationships, in your health, in your work, in your money, whatever, in your happiness, your fun, every area of your life, just be happy, because tomorrow is promised to no one, man. I don't know what's going on. In this world, none of us know what's going to happen tomorrow, but every single moment we spend, every minute we spend being down and sad, we're stealing 60 seconds of happiness from our lives, and you can't get that time back.
That's the thing. You can sort of have so much of so many different things, but time is the one thing. Everyone's on the same 24 hours. Everyone's got the same amount of time.
100%.
So it's about sort of find your why, sort of work out why you're doing things, and then build up from there.
Yeah, 100%.
Amazing stuff. Well, we mentioned briefly earlier just your Instagram, your social media platforms, the YouTube and stuff. Seeing those sort of quotes in the morning always gives me a bit of a boost, the first thing on my feed. For all those that are listening, there's sort of links to all of Jess's social media, the website, everything we've mentioned will be down in the description for you guys to check out. And of course, if sort of mentorship is something that you're looking into and you're sort of willing to put in the and sort of work from that, then give them a follow, see if it's right for you, and then work from there. But I just wanted to give you a massive thank you for coming on and having a chat. I think we've given some really sort of good, insightful tips and some actionable advice for the people that are listening to sort of go on. And now they've been in quarantine, but now they can sort of look to come out of it a better person and look to sort of pursue their dreams.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much. And thank you for having me on. And thank you for giving this platform, for other people to tap into, and for free as well.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's a great, great thing you're doing. So well done to you as well, my man. Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure having you.
Cheers.
Thanks a lot. Cheers.
As always, I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Tiny House Ideas podcast. If you've got any questions, any suggestions, any questions for future episodes, any ideas, then please do get in touch. Instagram's the easiest way to reach me, at Tiny House Ideas. If you'd like to support the podcast, as I've mentioned, it's available on Patreon to support, and we've got a private Discord group there where we can have the discussion. We can really break down the podcast, talk about each episode, talk about upcoming episodes, and also watch all of the new releases early.